I laughed last week so much. Hope Church is so funny. My first Sunday back, and somebody comes up to me, and they kind of spoke a little bit what I already had written as the first part of my sermon this week. And so here's how the conversation goes. Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
When you were gone,
yeah,
we didn't miss you for a minute. I'm like, okay, I kind of love you too. I mean, that's like the first thing they said to me. And then they said it again. No, really, we didn't miss you a minute. And then, okay, then they kind of gave me the punchline. It's legacy. They said, you should be so proud that you have a legacy, that you're training up the other pastors in such a way that even though you stepped out for a little bit, things kept going. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that is a huge compliment. And part of this summer, I learned a little more about legacy. I want to show you a picture of somebody. If you've been around church for any length of time, you will know. And this is a picture of Billy Graham. And I went to the Billy Graham Training Center. And you want to talk about legacy. Billy Graham is one of the people who hasn't fallen away from God because they got big, who stayed humble, who kept about the same salary through his entire ministry. And then he builds this retreat center up in the mountains of North Carolina for pastors and missionaries to go and be refreshed. So I go to the Billy Graham Training Center, and I go into the, it's like a five-star beautiful resort, and I'm ready to pay. Like, I need to pay for my room. I'm checking in. And the person's like, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm at a hotel resort thing. All the meals, they said, no, you already paid. I said, no, that was $25. And they said, no, that's what it costs. I said, let me get this straight. I'm staying here, the food, wonderful speakers. I said, everything, it's $25? And I thought, wow, you, Billy Graham, have been in heaven for several years, and yet you're still investing in pastors like me. So I can come and just be refreshed. It was kind of like a time for me, you know, for us. I mean, we love what we do, but this is work day for us, and it's refreshment day for you, which is awesome. And when I was at the Billy Graham Center, it was like, wow. They just poured into us principles, how to live a lifelong ministry. And I thought this, and I want to talk to you just about a couple of things that happened to me this summer. One of them is when I walked the halls and saw kind of the pictures of Billy Graham from the early days until the latter part of his life, tears just streamed down my face. I thought, you have lived a life. And here's what I want to say to you. Life isn't a summation of you being alive. Life really matters what happens when you're gone. What type of a legacy are you building today that's going to outlast your lifetime? In chapter 24 of the story, that's kind of where we've been reading this week. If you're following with us, excellent. It talks about sowing and reaping. It challenges us not simply just to live for the things of this world, but to live for actually what matters, to have our time, our talents, and our treasures used for the things of God. Do you know that's how 10 churches got built in India? because a couple people said, we want to make a difference that is bigger than we are. Do you know that's why we planted another church in Northwest Arkansas about 4 years ago called Canvas Church? Do you know that's why we prayed and said, God, we believe in young people. And when we started Canvas Church, the youth pastor left, kids pastor left, worship pastor left. And we're like, okay, this is what faith looks like. It's super uncomfortable, but God, we are going to pray. We're going to pray for a youth pastor because we believe in young people. And we hired a youth pastor with no more than 1 year's income, because that's what we had in savings. Was it uncomfortable to say we're going to build 10 churches? Oh, I was freaked out. Did I miss God? Did I made a vow to God and 10 churches? It's like, I don't know, it's like $100,000 or more. How God, is that going to happen? When we launched out Canvas Church, oh my goodness, God, how can that happen? When we prayed for a youth pastor, God, how can that happen? And it did. Because the summation of your life and my life isn't based on when we leave, it's based on what happens after we leave. And I want to encourage you that when you sow in the kingdom of God, it matters. And it's not easy to say we're going to plant 10 churches. It's not easy to tell one of our pastors, hey, let's start another church because that's how the kingdom of God grows. Right? I mean, truthfully, statistically, when a church reaches 500, 80% of their growth from that point forward is transfer growth. So that means they have a better whistle and bell than the church down the street, and their lasers and tasers and smog machines are better. Or not smog, that's California. Fog. I'm thankful today my wife said, I can't wait to hear my favorite preacher. I'm like, oh, great, we're bringing David Jeremiah to church. So I'm a little rusty. Yeah, smog is not good. Fog. Here's the thing. I don't want everyone to transfer from other churches. I want to reach people who don't know the Lord. And starting another church, that happens. Okay. What makes it possible for us now to say, praise the Lord, we built 10 churches? What makes it possible to say, Pastor Zach's been here for 3 years and is doing a phenomenal job and we haven't had to worry about his paycheck? How does that start? It starts by giving Jesus what you have and then watching him multiply it. You know, in chapter 24, Jesus tells his disciples, I'd like you to feed 5,000 men, which is roughly, I guess you could say, if there's a couple of kids and they're, a lot of them are married or whatever, it's about 15,000 people. And the disciples are thinking, you're crazy. There's no way we're going to be able to do this. We don't have the money. I mean, have you ever said that, God, what can I do for you? I don't have the money. How can I make a difference? Well, that's what they were thinking. And then Andrew, one of the disciples, says, hey, there's this kid. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that? And that's kind of what I thought. God, how can I see 10 churches built? How can we do all the work that we've done in Thailand and Costa Rica and Cuba and here? Time out for just a second. Don't read chapter 25 yet. And if you're behind, this is your week to catch up. Wednesday night, 4 of our good friends from Costa Rica are flying into town, and they're going to be with us Sunday. I cannot wait. I mean, I had a text this week from Christian. He's like, hey, pray for us. There's just like a train wreck. I'm like, I don't even know what you mean. They're ministering to gang people. Wednesday night, they were going to play soccer. Three of the young guys who are in the gang were driving a car. The train didn't signal its horn. Train runs over the car. Christian, who will be here Wednesday, goes to the car, is leading a gang member to the Lord as he takes his last breath and dies. I mean, you know what you have? You have a little bit. And a little bit, even like with Christian, what do you do for someone who's under a train? You give them what you have. Now all eternity has changed for that person. So they gave to Jesus what they had, and he takes the bread, he takes the fish, he gives thanks for it, he starts passing out. And if you've read chapter 24, you know what happens. It's like Lambert's. You know, they're chucking rolls at each other. Everything's happened. Fish is flying everywhere. You know, Peter's like, get the tartar sauce. We got more fish than we know what to deal with. I mean, it's like a huge party. But it didn't start that way. When's the last time you took a step of faith and said, Jesus, I'm going to give you what I have? Everything in this world is buying for our time, our talents, and our treasures. And yet the kingdom of God is really what matters the most. And gosh, I read that in chapter 24. And Jesus, Lord, help us to know that. This is true. Like we give Jesus what we have, and he can multiply it. So after Jesus feeds the 5,000, I mean, that's a big deal. A lot of stuff going on. He's tired, emotionally exhausted. So many demands on him. And then also I read in chapter 24, he's having to process the death of John. John is beheaded for being a believer. And Jesus, right after he multiplies this, he kind of takes a little time out. He sends the disciples ahead of him. And in the story on page 348 or in Matthew 14:23, it says this. After sending them home, that's the people that Jesus fed, he went up into the hillside by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. I wish I would have done this better in 35 years of ministry, but Jesus is modeling a principle here. Not only does legacy matter, what we leave, but what we do here matters. I wrote it down this way. If you don't get a part, you're likely to fall apart. And we're a busy community. You're busy people. And sometimes we can burn the candle on both ends so much that we end up not being as bright as we want to be. And we have a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety. And I remember 2 years ago, I planned to take a sabbatical just because I was tired. And it was hard planning that church and just stuff. And then COVID happened. And it's like, I can't take off now. And then this summer, I told our elders, I said, I'm just tired. I said, the church is going good. I mean, it's not like anyone's fighting. I said, but I'm absolutely worn out. And the elders were so wise, and they said, just take some time off. And I'm like, how do I do that? I'm used to giving. I love to give. I want to reach out and give. But I didn't realize how important it was for me to be refreshed. And this is not the first time Jesus did this. Matter of fact, you can see a pattern in his life, like right before big decisions or after major events in his life, he got away from it all to spend time with the Father. And if Jesus, I mean, this is Jesus, if he did this, how much more when we're facing major decisions, when we've gone through serious life events? As a Christian, how much more do we need to kind of get our anchor reconnected to the Lord. I've been the last couple of days out in the woods, and I've really enjoyed taking these vines off of my trees. If you live in Bella Vista, there's this crazy vine. I think some of it's poison ivy, and next week I may be on prednisone and like be all puffed out. But there are these vines that are going up around my trees, and my trees are like bending over. And I'm thinking, and I caught them at the root. I mean, I kind of felt like, you will not take my trees. I'm ripping these vines down. I'm dragging them into the woods. I'm feeling like all tough. Matter of fact, I even bought cowboy boots yesterday. And Sharon's like, you have cowboy boots? I'm like, yeah, and I was wearing them with my shorts. I'm like tough. And so, you know, but that's the thing that happens in life. All of this stuff starts twisting on us. And like my trees, at first I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. There's a little vine growing up alongside of me. And on some of our pines, the vine is so tight, it's actually choking the tree out and killing it. That is until I stepped in. And I mean, I'm ripping those out. I'm like, no, you will not have my tree. And I'm ripping vines out. And I thought at that moment, it's like, Lord, that's kind of what we need at times. If you're wound up today, I don't blame you. Because this world winds us up and kind of constricts us and makes us just kind of be in freak out mode. He went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. He spent time with his father. I've never taken a sabbatical. Matter of fact, I Googled how to do it. I did. How do you take a sabbatical? I found this place in Colorado, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to sign up. Go to Colorado, and it's like, okay, a minimum of 3 hours of therapy every day. I'm like, uh-oh. I've never done anything like that. And you know what it did for me? It was so freeing to have somebody who's not part of my circle speak life into me. Encourage me, hey, here's some things that you could read. Hey, God still has a plan for you, but I'm tired. And the last thing I want to do at Hope is to like fake it till I make it. If it's not real, I don't want to be part of it. And I'm telling you, I really needed this summer. And it wasn't all like super fun. I mean, having a guy, you know, sit there and say, you know what, you're full of it. You're not even being honest. You're being like a church guy. Why don't you tell me how you're really feeling? Well, because those things kind of hurt. Have you ever been hurt by somebody in church? I don't want to talk about that. Have you ever just been hurt? I'd rather just kind of not go there. And when you don't go there, you have little things that choke you out. And when you don't go there, it means you can't love as big. It means you shut your heart down. It means you live out of your head and not your heart. And you live on the defense instead of living, embracing life. I'm telling you. So I learned to pause. I looked inside, and this summer I've thought a lot about legacy. Had no idea I was going to need the strength of resting because Sharon and I got COVID again this summer. Well, that was fun. You know, that's the third time. But I'm going to be in the Guinness Book. All right, I'm going for 17 times. Thank goodness I had a little rest. You know, and there's just sometimes in life, like, you're not prepared for it and you're not planning for it, and then things get hard. Remember the disciples on page 343? It's in like Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and Jesus gets in the boat with his disciples, and Jesus is like, yeah, I'm going to take a nap. And then the water starts getting rough. I don't think Jesus was sleeping. I think he was kind of doing one of these. What are they going to do? These are lifetime fishermen. I think I'm going to make the waves a little bigger. And then life just happens. Boom! Waves are crashing. You know, have you ever had that life? And you're like the disciples. You're like, Jesus, do you not even care? Well, hello. What do you mean I don't care? Looks like they're going to capsize. And Jesus is fast asleep. You know, I didn't like getting COVID again. It was hard, and I gave it to my family. And then, of course, it's better to give than to receive, and then gave it to the extended family. And but that was not the storm of the summer for us. Sharon and I were finally able to get away together because I would go away, then I would come back. And then, you know, because she's still working at the bank, she couldn't take off as much as I did. And we were in Arizona, and I get a call from my brother. And he says, Jim, you need to come to Colorado now. I'm like right now? We're enjoying Sedona. I mean, that place is a little bit of a trip. Just if you've been there, you know, watching a guy sitting on a vortex. I don't even know what a vortex is, but, you know, rubbing crystals and helping some whammy thing, probably drinking kabuchi juice or whatever. I don't know. But we were having a good time. And my brother says, Jim, you need to come now because I don't know if Mom will make it by the time you get here. You want to talk about a wave? I just saw my mom 3.5 weeks earlier. We went to dinner and had a wonderful time. And now you're saying we need to actually get in the car right now, leave vacation, and get to Colorado as fast as we can. That's what we did. We had to drive a couple hours to get to Phoenix, jumped on a flight at about 11:30, flew all night long, got home, transitioned some things. Boom. I mean, the waves are just crashing on us. And it's super hard. We get to Colorado. I mean, I'm racing to get to my mom's house. Now, it's not because I've done like so many other people and didn't call their mom. I called my mom every day for as many years as I can think about because I didn't want to be that guy who says, I wish I would have. Gosh, I should have. I wasn't that guy. And a lot of times when I'd go speak at something, I would have a leg where I bopped into mom's house. And so none of that stuff was going on, but this is my mom. You know, my dad came back from Vietnam, left us, became a drunk. It was hard. So mom was mom and dad, right? So it's not just like mom, it's mom and dad. It's the security, the help for a whole family. And the water seems to be over my head and I'm choking. Sit down by mom, and at this point, she's not real coherent, but we're praying for her. And I mean, it's hard. And then my sister and, you know, they said, hey, let's all leave the room and, you know, let's maybe mom will realize, hey, it's okay now. I think she was waiting for you, Jim, and Sharon to be there. And they left, and I said, I'm not leaving. And at that moment, I felt the Lord. And it was hard. But I prayed. I said, God, could you honor me? Could you honor me by allowing mom to be ushered into your presence with me in the room? I said, Lord, would you take her home with me right here? And oh, what a beautiful moment. I could sense the Lord. And it was hard. I mean, this is my mom. And I've been around, you know, hospitals for a long time, and it doesn't always go easy. I mean, our bodies are trying to fight to stay alive and all of that. And I just saw just... Lord, you took her, didn't you? Thank you for honoring me that I could see my mom in a way ushered into heaven. You know, the disciples on that day, they didn't know what Jesus was going to do. And all he said was, be quiet, be still. And the water becomes completely calm. I don't know a whole lot, but I do know this. When you find your boat being filled with water and it's super tough, if you invite Jesus to be part of that boat, you can find courage and you can find hope in the midst of whatever that is. And this summer was a beautiful time for me to think about legacy, to think about, I have lots to look forward to, and I'm so thrilled. Last night I kind of had an emergency phone call, and I'm like, thank you. I get to be your pastor. I love you so much. I have so much to look forward to, and I'm so thankful to share life with you. But I also know this. Time for everyone is short. And what are you doing today that's going to outlast you tomorrow? If you're so focused on the things of this earth and all of your time, talent, and treasures are spent on earth, I'm telling you, you're missing. And some of us, we need to get apart. We need to spend that time with the Lord because that's why we're falling apart. And I wished I would have, and I'm going to make it happen. Every 7 years that a pastor serves consecutively here, they're going to be forced to go away for a little bit. I wished I'd have done that 25 years ago. I'm so much better today because of it. And I want to encourage you, some of you are making big decisions. You got a lot going on. The easiest thing for us to give up is our time with the Lord. And then those vines, they literally will choke us out. And I don't know today what's going on, and maybe your boat feels pretty shaken. I mean, I was pretty shook up this summer. I'm still shook up. I mean, every day I'm so excited to call my mom, and I can't. When we were in Branson, I lost it because I wanted to buy my mom this little thing, and I couldn't. And I'm just crying in the store, and Sharon's like, man, are you okay? I'm really not okay at all. And I don't want to pretend I'm okay. Because I'm not. And I'm still, I think, a little fragile. But I know I know that when I connect with Jesus in my boat, I have courage. And I don't just have courage, I have hope for not only now, but forever, ever, ever. Okay. Pastor Zach's going to come in just a moment, and he's going to lead us in communion. And here's what communion is. It's that time where, Lord, I need strength. Your body was broken so I could be strong. And I need forgiveness. That's why he shed his blood. We don't have to be perfect. But he wants us to be honest. He wants us to be real. I want to pray with you. And here's the last thing I want to say. I really do love y'all. So fun to be back. Even if you didn't miss me for a stinking minute. I love you. It is an absolute honor to be one of your pastors. And I wish earlier on I would have taken a little more time away. I think it would have done me a lot of good. But that's what happens with strong people who think they can do it all themselves. And I'm so thankful for God's grace. I love our elders. Thank you for allowing me the privilege to kind of get apart before I fell apart. And thank you, Hope, for receiving me back to be one of your pastors. I love you, and I'm so thankful to be here today. Let's pray. Father, I'm literally forever grateful to you. I love the people at Hope Church, and you have big plans for us. You have a future for us. Lord, may we as individuals take steps of faith that kind of make our knees a little bit shaky. We have something to do. God, I pray, Lord, that those of us who've had dreams but let them be put aside, kingdom dreams, that you would rekindle that fire in us. I pray for those right now who just feel stressed out. And man, I felt stressed. I felt so stressed out this year. Having my best friend die in Fusaku, just so many things. I pray, Lord, that we would take time with you. Moments matter with you, Lord. God, I pray for anyone today who feel like their boat is just filling with water. And it's hard. You know, if any of that rings true to your heart, what an honor for me to pray for you. Would you look up at me? And I'll pray for you. Thank you. And I love you. What an honor to pray for you. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Sure. God, they're looking at me, but they're really looking towards you. I pray, Lord, for each one who said, I need a little strength here. I need a little help here. I need some hope here. I need to step up or step out here. Father, would you fill us with you? Fill us with you that we could find courage and that we could have hope. That, Lord, we wouldn't just have to be daily in the drudgery of life, but we can have a little spring in our step and we can find strength that comes from you. I pray for my friends. I pray for Hope here and Hope at home. Lord, bless them. Bless them. Keep them, Lord. May your face radiate about them. And, Lord, may we live in your peace. in Jesus' name.